Well, good morning, little parish in cyberspace. Here we are in the catacombs once again. Nevertheless, the fourth Sunday of Easter, since the earliest days of the Church, has been dedicated to Christ the Good Shepherd. For good reason. In our Gospel today, Jesus identifies himself as the Good Shepherd. The prophets foretold that the Messiah would come as a Good Shepherd, who would gather the sheep as one flock, whether Jew or Gentile, whether righteous or sinners. One flock, one church. Even in our Christian iconography, one of the earliest depictions we find of our Lord in the catacombs is he as the Good Shepherd. So with all of that in mind, we can call to mind that image of Jesus the Good Shepherd, but we must not forget it's really a very powerful image. At the time of our Lord, shepherds had a very difficult task. To be a good shepherd was hard work. A sheep was raised primarily for wool or as a temple sacrifice, like the Passover lambs. Therefore, each little sheep was a precious asset. Therefore, the good shepherd had to make sure that he provided nourishment for the sheep. He led them to the proper pasture. He protected them from thieves or ravenous animals, that he secured them at night in that sheepfold, the pen made out of perhaps rocks or even a circle of shrubbery. He himself then would lay down at the front of that sheepfold, protecting the sheep. So therefore, to be a good shepherd meant that you had to be faithful, diligent, dedicated, hardworking, and self-sacrificing. Immediately then, we see how Jesus fits that image. Jesus fulfills that very description. The spiritual challenge for us then is not only to look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd, but really ask ourselves, is he my shepherd? Am I faithfully following him? This is a choice you and I have to make each day. Our Lord doesn't force us to follow him. I remember back about 6 years ago, and you may remember also, we had a deacon with us who was studying at Mount St. Mary's, Deacon Eric Clark, who was from Nebraska. His parents owned a cattle ranch. He made the point, which was interesting, that one drives cattle, but one leads sheep. And so we have to choose to follow Christ the Good Shepherd. Therefore, I encourage you to take time today to look at the 23rd Psalm, which was our responsorial psalm this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd," and pray it. Pray it perhaps in this way, that Jesus, you truly are my shepherd. In your eyes, I have value. In your eyes, I am precious. You have given me life. You have given me a purpose. You will that I live right here and now. With that, I know I will not want. Even though I may have desires, I will be happy with the sustenance that you provide me, that you take care of all my wants. You give me that daily bread I pray for each day. You will lead me, whether in the verdant pastures, when life is going really great, or the dark valleys, when life is tough, when I face sorrow, hardship, tragedy, when things just don't go well. But you will be with me with your rod and your staff. Pause for a moment. Notice that the psalm says with rod and staff. Normally we think of a shepherd just holding that crook, which is really the rod spoken of. So in Hebrew it was shevet, and that was that crook which was used for walking, but also to reel in the little sheep that's going astray with that hook, or give the little sheep a little whack on the rear end to make the sheep move or to fight off the ravenous animal or the thief. But then there was the staff, which in Hebrew is matay. It's more of a divine kind of instruments. Matay is used for Moses' staff that he threw down, and it was turned into a snake to show Pharaoh the true God's power, or the staff that Moses raised as he parted the Red Sea, or the staff he used to crack the rock and outpoured water. So here, our Lord is walking with us with rod and staff, giving what we need, not only physically, in that very human sense, but what we need supernaturally, in that grace sense. He's with us. For that reason, we can have peace of heart. He's always with us, whether verdant pasture or dark valley. But go back. We pray, Lord, you have anointed me in baptism, confirmation, for myself, holy orders. You've spread the banquet out before me, the beautiful gift of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. You have shown me the right path to follow, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. If I follow you, I know you will be with me each day and one day lead me to that final dwelling place in heaven. This is how we're called to pray that beautiful psalm. So I encourage you today on this Sunday, when you go back to having some free time, I was going to say when you go back home from church, but you aren't here right now, but when you have some time, go back and pray that psalm and pray it in a very heartfelt, personal way. While we think of that, we have to go further. You and I have to remember we're also called to be the good shepherd to those entrusted to our care. In Greek, the word good is kalos, which does mean good, but it also means model. So Christ is the model shepherd. Therefore, this Sunday, take time individually or as a family to pray for your church, especially the leaders, meaning our Holy Father, the bishops, and especially your parish priests. We hear in our first passage in Acts of the Apostles how after Pentecost, the apostles, especially St. Peter, go to the temple. They preach the gospel. 3,000 are baptized. The church goes on. Christ gave a leadership to his church. So he gave the church shepherds. So therefore, pray that we always have good shepherds. Granted, in recent times, we know there are those that failed. They acted sort of like the paid-for-hire Pharisees. Nevertheless, don't let that discourage you. Granted, that scandal at times did cause some sheep to scatter. We should try to bring them back. Because, look at the history of the church. We've had countless dedicated men who have served as not only the Holy Father, but as bishops, and especially your parish priests. Where would you be without your parish priests? We could think, too, of deacons. We could think also especially of men and women religious. Many of us benefited from those dedicated men and women who gave their lives as school teachers, nurses, caring in orphanages, whatever it may be. Think of all the dedicated people who were good shepherds in that sense of a religious vocation. Even during this time of unpleasantness, it's very pleasant to have with us our two parish seminarians, John Meyer Hoffer and also James Joseph. Since seminary is closed, they're finishing up their school work through, again, the internet. But how beautiful it is. Here we have two men, and all together in our diocese, 49 men studying for the priesthood. Joe Machetto, who's a deacon, looks forward to ordination this June. Again, one of our homegrown parish seminarians. Pray for them. Where would we be without good, dedicated priests? And also, men and women religious. But then we go further. You parents are called to be good shepherds. You spouses are called to be good shepherds. Yes, you have to help your spouse get to heaven. You have to help your children get to heaven. This is a critical point in our world today. Sister Lucia, who was one of the children of Fatima and just died a few years ago, said that the last major attack by Satan would be on marriage and the family. We see that. And the problem is mostly because Satan finds weak shepherds who are vulnerable to those attacks. This past Wednesday, the Washington Times reported that in 2018, the last year that we have full statistics, that we had the lowest marriage rate drop in 120 years. And there has been a steady decline since 1986 in marriage. The report stated, quote, studies have shown that adults in the United States are increasingly postponing marriage and that a record number of youth and adults are projected to forgo marriage. The study showed different factors, so it indicated the impact of divorce among families causing young children to forgo committing themselves later in life to marriage, but then also the decline in births, economic stresses, growing cohabitation, and a decline in religious practice. The forgetting that Jesus is that good shepherd who has to be our model. Professor Zagorski of the Questrom School of Business at Boston University said, quote, marriage is hard work. Living with someone means taking into account another person's feelings, moods, needs, and desires instead of focusing just on your own. This extra work has large time, emotional, and financial costs. In all, to have that successful marriage, that successful family, we need good shepherds. So this is a time when we may face this quarantine period, but a time to really reevaluate life and to strengthen marriage and family. I was speaking with Chris Adams. He's the owner of Adams Green Funeral Home. If you're thinking about your funeral, you ought to call them, but be that as it may. So we had a couple of funerals, so I was talking with him before the funeral, and we were talking about what's going on and how's life, and he said, you know, it's not so bad. Granted, his business keeps on going along, go figure, but then also he said, my two older children are home from school, they're finishing up through the internet, but we're having more communication. We're having more free time. We're interacting better as a family. My wife and I are communicating better. She's cooking dinners, and we're all helping, and we're enjoying leisurely, relaxing dinners. There's so many good aspects to this. And I said to him, well, with that, when we get back to this new normal, whatever that may be, don't go back then to all the busyness, all the rush around. Reevaluate, reprioritize. It's time to say, well, we'll take the best from the past, but leave the rest. Move forward. And this is a time when you all as a family can spend more time talking to each other as husband and wife, talking between parents and children. A time just to have fun together, to eat together, to be sure to pray together each day. Take the time, reevaluate. Lastly, though, this Sunday we need to pray for our future shepherds, and those are the young people. Many of the young people and those that are watching now, this is probably your first major crisis like this that you have faced. Yes, your family may have faced a death of a loved one, or maybe a sickness, perhaps a financial problem. But this is the first major crisis. Most of the young people, you all, don't even remember 2001, 9/11. You weren't born yet. You also are facing disappointments for For those of you who are graduating from high school or college, all of a sudden, your long-awaited graduation ceremony has been canceled. All these special events, canceled. Well, I hate to say this, but this is part of life. We face these disappointments, times of sorrow, times of suffering, times when things just aren't going like we would like them to go. But look to Christ. Christ is the good shepherd, verdant pasture or dark valley. Here too, for you young people, is a time to reevaluate your lives. In our society, we could let all those desires become those needed wants. I have to have this. I have to have that money, that position, those material things that other people have. And those things become false idols that consume our lives. And then suddenly, they're taken away. Just like now. We've seen it. All of a sudden, taken away. And we're left empty, wanting. But if our heart rests with the Lord Jesus, we'll never want. Yes, we can have good desires, but we always keep it in perspective. Look to Christ, the Good Shepherd. So my brothers and sisters, let us turn our hearts this day to the one shepherd who's going to safely lead us through this life, and not this life alone, but lead us eventually to everlasting life. Only Jesus can be the Good Shepherd. May God bless you.